this is, I don't want to leave us hanging.
I don't intend to leave you hanging, but I want to give God the glory right now. Thank Him for all that He's done for me. And I can look back and see His hand on my life, even when I was little. How that He watched over me. I remember once when I was little, I had gone to the store. My mom, she'd let us go to the store, and we'd take the back road. And this time my sister didn't go with me. I went by myself. And I'm going to get to my report, Brother Smith. But I had taken the back road, and I had gone by myself back there in the woods. I didn't think anything about any harm coming to me or anything. I was just going to get me some candy to the store. And when I got back there, there was a car back there, and there was a man in the car, a Caucasian man in the car. And he was driving, and I thought, oh, my God. And he drove up to me, and he asked me, how did I get that scar on my face? And I told him what had happened. And he said, come closer and let me see it. And something inside me said, don't move. And I didn't move. Well, he put his arm up to grab me, and I took out running. I ran and ran and ran. I ran so hard. I was so scared. To me, I was flying. I was flying. But I could see God's hand on my life even back there then. How He kept me from harm and danger. God. And you know, He's been doing as you call Him. Yeah. Been doing the same thing in these days, I tell you what. I'm so thankful that He touched my life, given me a chance. But not only me, He's given anybody a chance that wants to make it. I want to be one of those five wise, oh God. Since He has called me, since He has let me to see where I am, why not be one of those five wise? You know, He didn't bring me here to for me to lose out. He brought me here for me to win. And body corona, sikolale on the high, I intend to win. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God. You know, the Lord brought me to this. To this cancer. He brought me to it. Okay. And I thought, Lord, if You brought me to it, You can bring me through it. Oh God. However way You want to heal me, Lord, I'll accept it. I'll accept it however, whichever way. Oh God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. And you know, going through these treatments, you meet some sweet people, some of the sweetest people. I guess because of the trial, trials do things for you. You know that? It can bring the best out in you, or it can bring the worst out in you. Whichever one you want to lean to. But I met people that I guess they were going through the same thing that I was going through, so they knew how I felt. They knew the sickness that we each was facing. And one lady, oh, she, every time I saw her, she had a smile, I guess because I was smiling too. And she just greeted me so wonderfully. Well, they all did. And then when one would succeed in getting over it, it's his treatment or her treatment, it was men and women there, they'd give us a certificate. And everybody would just be so happy that that person got a certificate. They'd be just as happy for you as if it was him. So when I got my little certificate, I came through there holding it up, and I was just smiling because it was my certificate. Oh, God. Well, that was just for the radiation. But it was a big step for me because that radiation, I could even smell it after I leave for weeks. I smell it. It just takes your appetite. Every time you go down the freeway and look over there at that place, you get nauseated. But God brought me to it. And I know he can bring me through it. Oh, God. Didn't bring me this far to lose me. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, God. Well, I got that certificate, but and I had my 1 month evaluation about 3 weeks ago. So I'm free of radiation right now. I have another. He said, I'll see you in 3 months. So in 3 months, they're going to check me again for radiation. And then they were going to send a word over to my oncologist, gynecologist. Now, that's the big one. So I haven't heard from her yet. So as far as the chemo, I don't know yet. I don't know about that yet. She hasn't called me to set up an appointment. But when she does, I'll certainly let you know one way or the other. But I believe that the Lord is going to bring me through. I believe that he is. Because he's a great God. Oh, God. I've been reading, you know, I read the Bible through every year, but this, I've been reading lately, and I can really get into this reading. I mean, I could put myself right there beside whoever I'm reading about. And I've been reading about Moses. And you know, when Moses died, I think, oh, Moses is gone. Moses is gone. But the Lord didn't leave his people. He didn't leave them comfortless. He raised up another man, Joshua, to take them on to the promised land. Oh, God, oh, God. And I believe that he's doing the same thing today. To those who will listen, to those who will take heed of his word, he told them, if you would only do my commandment, if you would only obey my commandments, and to do them, a blessing would come upon you that you and overtake you. And you know what? If he did that for them to that back there, then I believe he'll do the same for us today. I really believe that. So I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to take him at his word. As much as he lies within me, I'm going to put into practice what he's on the city of Colonia. Because he said, if you would just obey, just obey. I don't understand all that is for me to do, Brother Smith. I don't understand all that's my part to do. But I'm willing to learn what is my part. I'm willing to listen and to learn what's my part to do so that I can be able to do it, you know. If I don't listen and hear it, I won't know what to do. But I believe it's vital for me to be here every time these doors are open and to hear what the Lord is saying to the church. At this hour, to me, that's vital. I want to have my ears tuned into what the Lord is telling us to do in this day and this hour, because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss this great opportunity, because I believe if I seek to be like him, I believe if I lay down this little life, which is just a drop in the bucket, Brother McGowan, 70 years, is just a drop in the bucket. Oh, God, to what the Lord has for each one of us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Woo. And to me, it's been a wonderful journey. It's been a wonderful trip. I've enjoyed it all. Even with this sickness, I can look back, and I do. I look back on, I changed rooms and changed bedrooms while I was sick because I didn't want to have to remember it going to my main bedroom every night. I didn't want to have to remember that sickness. I know it's probably foolish to some of you, but that's the way my mind works. I didn't want to have to go to that sick room. So I changed rooms when I was sick. But I'd go by there and I'd look at that room and I said, Lord, thank you. You brought me out of there. Put me back in my bedroom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What a God. What a God. He said, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. And you know, I have had experience with the Lord. I live by myself and I can worship in every room that I want to. I can turn my music up as high as I want to. I can shout. I can fast as long as I want to. You know, and pray as long as I want to. Get on my knees and face God. I don't have to answer to. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing it? Didn't you just pray? Yes, I just prayed. I'm going to pray again, okay? Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Oh, God. I love the Lord. I love him because he first loved me, showed me the way, showed me this way. Oh, God. I didn't know where I was. I was blind. I was blind as a bat, but he showed me. He showed me his people. Thank you, Lord. And you know, it's through the Lord visiting me. Each one of us have to know the Lord personally. And so one day I was praying. I've told it before. I said, Lord, I talk to you all the time. I don't know what I was expecting, but I prayed that way. I said, Lord, I talk to you all of the time, and I don't ever hear you talk to me. And this thought came to my heart. It said, if you would listen, if you would just listen. And so I said, okay, I'm going to be quiet and listen. And that's what I did. I shut off everything, and I listened. And he said, it spoke to my heart. In the day that you seek me with your whole heart, you'll be found of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what he said? He said, I'm watching you. I'm watching you. And kept repeating that until that was way off in the distance. I'm watching you. And you know what? Over the years, I thought, well, when that happened, I thought, well, he's watching me, watching over me. But you know what? To me, what it means today, he's watching whether I'm up or whether I'm down, whether I'm going through a trial. He's watching my spirit. He's watching how I come through this. So you know what? That put pressure on me that the Lord is watching me. So I know I have to walk circumspectly in all that I do, be truthful in all my dealings. Because God is watching me. But not only is he watching me, the people that I work with, the people that I associate with, they're watching me too. They're watching my spirit. And I know that. And people know who they can come to when they really need something, when they really need a prayer answered or something. They'll come to me. They'll tell me what they want me to know about their problems or whatever, because they feel like they can trust me. And, you know, I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord that he has, really, I guess that's grace that he's bestowed upon my life that others can see. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for this place. I'm so thankful for y'all putting up with me and my backward ways. Oh, God. I'm so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful for my grandma that stayed on her knees and prayed for her grandchildren. Thank you, Lord. That it has brought me this way, that I can see Christ, and even more, that Christ sees me. And I hope one day he calls me friend. That's my friend. Thank you, Lord.
Appreciate that good report from Sister Watson. Seeing that the Lord is taking her step by step, and we that's the way we work with God, is to allow him to work in our lives step by step. And he doesn't show us the full picture all the time, but he let us see enough to where we can have faith in him to know that it's him that is directing our lives, and I appreciate that. So just to know that it's God, you know, that's showing us, and we're singing those good songs about him. He's a wonderful Savior, and he has wonderful promises. And he is greater than our problems. You know, our problems seem to be pretty huge in our lives, and we can just realize that God is bigger. He's greater. He's bigger than our problems. And so just those thoughts really helped you. I mean, they're not just resolved, you know. Everything don't just dissolve when you start thinking that way, but it does help to be able to think and realize that, God, you're bigger than this. You know, I know this is gigantic in my life, but you're bigger. And you can help me through it however. Like just watch and say it, however he does it. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to, you know, kick your life in neutral. Just think of driving, you know, just put it in neutral and you're not going any direction that you want to go, but like they did with the ark. The ark didn't have a helm that it could be steered, that the boat couldn't be steered, you know. How would you like to be on a boat and just turn loose out there on the ocean and you have no control of where you're going, but you're in the boat, though, but you don't have any control, and that's the way it was. They were on this boat, what, 10 months or a year? How long time? And they had no control. They were safe. And how do you do that? How do you turn your life over and let God just tell you, show you? I mean, we talk about it. I hear it all the time, and I like it. And that's part of our endeavor in serving God, is to be able to allow God to control our life and just turn loose. Like they used to tell all these stories. I've heard so many. You know, Bill Tucker, Brother Leninger, all want to tell about this man that was falling off a cliff, and he somehow grabbed onto a little twig or limb or something while he was falling, and he was praying to God to help him, but he was holding on to this, whatever he was holding on to, this limb, and the voice he heard said, "Well, just turn loose." You know, that's all he had, was holding on to. And that's hard to do in our lives, is to turn loose things that we have, that we're holding something, you know, in our lives. So, and it's hard to turn loose. It's hard to turn loose things. I mean, it's just the way, you know, our nature and how we were made. You know, just being made like Adam, first of all, is things that you can't let go of. But anyway, I'm thankful. First of all, thankful to have Brother and Sister Smith back from the Dominican Republic, and get to hear good. We heard some reports already. I'm sure we'll hear some more about the meeting over there and the wonderful time they had, and the meeting and the people that went with them. And we got Sister Shay and her sister back. It was good to have them here today. And I remember the last name was Douglas, is that right? But I can't remember your first name. Renata Douglas. She was here last Sunday, wasn't it, I believe. So good to have her back. And her son, I can't remember, Zylon? All right. And then Demetria was here Wednesday night, I believe. She's good to have her back. And all right. Now, Sister Curtis and Sister Tiffany got a friend with them today here. And I believe she said Diggs. I remember the Diggs part. I can't remember the first part. Okay. Good to have you here with us today. God bless you. All right. Anybody else? She just moved here from there. She got a job. She got a job, right? She moved with the job. Well, I hope you like the city, and especially the church here. We love you. Have people come in here And she moved from an area that I'm familiar with, the Marion, right? That's not my stomping ground, but I'm not far from there. I got relatives all in that area, so Sister Curtis and them know some of the people, some of my sisters, so they familiar with that area. So that's kind of like home folks. But anyway, it's good to be in the house of God today and to be talking about these good things about the Lord and what He's doing for us, how great He is, and we just have to realize it, you know, in our life, each one, like Sister Watson said, you know, each one of us individually have to realize, you know, how great God is and what He can do for us if we just allow Him. And I don't want to, you know, just we're going to pray. Brother Daniels, I'll think about him. And I'm sorry. I was going to get I thought about getting a card from him. He's the man that sent all the cards. Okay. I don't know somebody. If I would pay for the card for my good. I might could have time between service, but if I can get a card and pass around, let everybody sign it. You know, send it to it. I don't think he's going to be there that long, but he's there now. So. You know, let's not forget him. I knew Brother Fred's dad was in the hospital, then the VA, and I didn't get to see him. But Brother Daniel was telling me that he was at the VA hospital for something else, and he went by to see Brother Fred's dad, sent him a card, you know, like he does. And but anyway, I think your dad's home, right, Brother Stewart? Okay, that's good. So anyway. And then the brother and sister Crow, this weather, you know, rainy day, I'm sure they probably want to be here. I don't know how they're doing. They can't, not doing good. Let's remember the Crows. Pray for them. All right, Sister Linda. Terry, Gary Shelton, okay. All right, remember them. All right, yes. Sister Gail, yeah, Brother. She's having a pray for Sister Gail. Well, Smith will show me that text. But anyway, remember them. Pray that she's still not over this. So. Brother Larry Bryan, pray for him. All right, Sister Ann. You're there. Okay, remember Sister Ann's dad? Brother Stewart, you had. Huh? Okay, all right. All right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. So she had some good reports on some of the tests. Okay. Remember Sister Cindy's dad, her mom? All right, Sister. Okay, all right. Remember, Sister Durham's sister. Brother Durham was sharing with us Wednesday night, I believe, wasn't it? About you're going to have to face some tests. Okay, all right. Sister Brother Dotson, remember him. Pray for him. Good to see him out today. All right. Sister Holland, all right. Okay, all right. All right. Brother Wallace. All right. Dylan. Okay. Remember Dylan. All right. Sister Jude. Sister Wilson. All right. All right, so I remember Sister Lynette. Okay. tonight. Yeah. Remember Caleb. He'll be traveling the road. Pray that God will keep his hand up on him. All
Brother
right.
Callie,
yes, sir.
Brother Emilio Green needs our prayers. He's just going through a time of trial, and let's remember him in our prayers. Also, we're trying to buy a piece of property for, I'm really wanting to build a mother church there in La Romana. I really wish y'all would pray with us about that. Also, Brother Calderon has, we've got a cinder block building. We've got four walls up and in Coma Home for a new building for a church there. I told him just get started building on it. Send us a bill. So I'm going to send it to y'all. No, we're just going to trust the Lord.
Trust God.
All right. Between this church and Wichita, Brother Green and I think we can probably handle it.
All right.
At least enough to get a roof and a floor in it so they can get. It's going to probably run around $5,000-$6,000 to get it up and get it going. I'm going to petition the brethren in Jacksonville, too. I've never have asked them for anything. But that church has been, we've had those four walls up for 2 years and hadn't got any further. We just paid for it as we went, you know, but I just hadn't had the money to have them finish it, and we need help. So,
is that close to the town that he's?
Well, there's several people from Guerrero that have moved to Coma Home, which is probably 25 miles from Guerrero, but it's in the northwest metroplex of La Romana, really. I mean, it's about maybe 15 miles out there, something like that.
Okay.
May not be quite that far, but anyway, La Romana's more than doubled in size since I started that work, and then it's just getting bigger and bigger. I think there's about a half a million there now. Well, it's getting to be big. But I really appreciate your prayers, because we got need, you know, we have needs over there and things that I'm praying, asking God to help us with, and I'm just asking you to help me pray.
So I'll remember.
Praise God. Keep me also. I'm still not quite over my little sickness, but I'm so much better I hate to even mention it. Thank you for your prayers.
All right. Okay. Anybody else? Any other requests? So I guess we'll. Brother Henry. Yes, he. I talked to him. He'd like to be here, but he just feel like he can't at this time because of his sickness, medical problems. But he loved his church, and he someday feel like he'll be back. But let's pray for Brother Henry. I guess. The ushers come up. We go ahead and do the. We go ahead and if it's not any other requests, we'll go ahead and stand and pray that God will help His people. Lord, we thank You for this time, oh God, this opportunity to be able to reach up to You, Lord, and ask that You help us, help Your people, oh God. Oh, touch each request. Thank You, Lord, for the good report we get. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, help us to be able to lift up Your name, oh God, in our lives. Touch each need, Lord. Brother Daniels, oh God, help him. Lord, thank You for helping Brother Smith, Lord. Bringing him home, oh God. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, blessed be Your holy name, oh God. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. She got some. Okay. Thank You. Oh, hallelujah, Lord.
She got some. Many times I wonder, and I question, Lord, are You sure? Are you sure this is what I'm supposed to do? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Is this right? It's not easy. This place is hard. Are you sure? Are you sure? Then he whispers in my ear, child, I hear it. I see you. I know what you're going through. I know what you need. Just be still. Hold still and don't move. I know what I'm doing. I love you, I do. He shows me in so many ways that he sees and he cares. Straight is the way, and not all will enter. If he's preparing, shaping and molding me, I'll hold still, Lord, not move. I love you, I do. Then he whispers in what you need. Just be still. Oh, hold still. Don't move. I know what I'm doing. I love you. I do. Whispers in my ear, child, I hear. If he's prepared. Just be still.
Spirit of the Lord that we're feeling today. Thank you, Sister Lynette, for that song. You know, serving God, it's like putting together a big puzzle. And one of those puzzles that's hard to get all the pieces in the right places. And Sister Elsie was at home they had puzzles on the kitchen table, and everybody that was, you know, she was, they had her bed there in the end of the dining room area so everybody that was there would take their turns working on that puzzle. And so some of them wasn't so easy to put together. You know, when you're putting a sky together, well, it's all looks like the same. And then there was pieces that looked like would fit, but they didn't really quite fit. And if somebody puts one of them, you know, in the hole that looked like it fit, but it wasn't really just right, then that threw everything off. You had to find that piece before you realized that something's wrong. Well, serving the Lord, understanding God is a big puzzle. The plan of God is a big plan. He wants you and I to know it, but it's too big for you to get it in just one package. But, you know, when you put a puzzle together, you just, the first thing you look for is them border pieces. You know, there's a straight line on one side of them, so that's a dead giveaway, you know. So you got a place to start. Well, the simple basics of salvation is the corner pieces, the border pieces. And they're not so hard to get, to find those. And Sister Inez mentioned the scripture in 119th Psalm. I thought I'd just read it in the first the first verse says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And that's the answer. That's the part of the puzzle that you get in the beginning. If God calls you and you answer to his call, I've mentioned this little portion of scripture several times over the years of my preaching, and in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, we won't take time to go there, but it shows Jesus returning on a white horse, and it shows he's victorious in the end of this thing. And they that are with him, it says, are called, chosen, and faithful. And every once in a while I'll go over that God's put out a call, and they're God's calling people to salvation. You and I have been called. There's no question about that. You wouldn't even be here if God hadn't called you. Jesus said, no man comes unto me except my Father draws him. God had to see something in your life to save, and you wouldn't be here today. Now, you may not respond to the call. There's people that comes in here. Almost every service we have somebody visiting. And many, many of them go back out those doors and we don't ever see them again because they don't respond. What gets them in here, there's a lot of different reasons that they come in, but you have to respond to the call to be chosen. I've mentioned that over the years for there's a call, but until you say yes, and until you say yes with a declaration of I'll serve you, Lord, with my whole heart. When you come to God, you have to humble down and say yes, and that yes has to be unqualified. It has to be a complete yes, Lord. Whatever you want to do in my life, I'm willing. That's why most people get down below the bottom before they, will turn to God. Most people, they have to be hurting and getting a place where they don't have anywhere else to turn. And I'll tell you, we're living in a country that God has blessed in such a way that people don't need, you've got to be in bad shape to need God. Because everything's provided for you in this country. I mean, there's people in this that are, well, they call them homeless. There's homeless people in this country that are richer than people in third world countries. They got free medical. You can go, they can walk in any hospital and get free medical care. I can tell you right now, you walk in a hospital in the Dominican Republic, they'll send you right back out the same door you came in if you don't have money to pay for the care. And they're not going to take care of you. I have them call me all the time. My wife's in the hospital and they won't give her any medication or anything until we pay them some money. And so, but there is a call. God's calling people. But the requirement to be chosen is to say yes to whatever his requirement is. Whatever your requirement is, Lord, I'm willing to let you take over, take charge of my life. And I'm willing to yield to you. Of course, when you make that commitment, you don't know what he's going to require of you, but it takes that faith, that kind of faith, to say, I believe that God knows more about this than I do. And I'm willing to give Him my whole heart. I'm not holding back anything. That's what that means. And then in verse 3 it says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. That, there's a key to what iniquity is right there. It's real easy. If you walk in His ways, you're not doing iniquity. So if you're walking in your ways, what are you doing? Iniquity. That's what iniquity is. When you do your own will, and God doesn't have anything, you're doing your will. You're doing what you think. And what you think, you know, versus what God says or what the Word of God says. And then I thought today, you know, the mysteries of God are important. There's a lot of scriptures that, you know, when you first come to God, you don't know. But you'll run into them before, if you keep serving Him, and you'll need answers. You just can't live without getting some more pieces to the puzzle. And I mean, you can go so far, but after a while, you'll come in, you'll begin to need more answers. For example, the Bible tells you to go on to perfection. It tells you nobody's going to rule and reign with Christ but those that overcome sin. When you hit those scriptures, you get questions. Because you start thinking, what is perfection? What is overcoming sin? What is it, the difference in being the, what if I don't make the bride? You have to run into more questions. I read a scripture in 1 John 3 this morning, just flipping through my Bible, that said that he that's born of God sinneth not, neither can he sin. Well, that scripture alone needs some explanation. Are you born of God, and do you sin? And what does it mean, I can't sin if I'm born of God? In fact, you'd begin to think that I must not be born to God if he committed a sin. So you got to get some in-depth understanding of God's Word. As you go on to know Him, the Scriptures have, there's answers to, there's contextual answers to a lot of them, but there's also revelatory answers to some of them that, And it has to come through the Bible, but the Spirit of God, you know, men of old spake as they were moved of by the Holy Ghost. I think we can say that about the early church now. They said it back there, the men under the old covenant, but those were men of old 2,000 years ago to us. And they spoke in the New Testament scriptures as they were moved on by the Holy Ghost. Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, Paul told Timothy. And there's no private interpretation. You can't just give your interpretation of it. In other words, it means what it says, but it doesn't say what it means. We give the little story every once in a while. Brother Patton, Clyde Napoleon Patton, told this story many times before he died. When he first came around this people, of course, one of the things he used to say a lot was, and I thought about it this morning, he said, everybody that comes among us loves the Spirit of God they feel here. They love the worship they feel. But most of them hate the doctrine. But he said, most of them don't understand that what they're feeling is because of the doctrine that's taught. The people that have learned how to get a hold of God and the avenue of touching God in the Spirit and worship got that through teaching. But he tells a story about how when he was when he first came around this, which was way back in the early 60s or maybe the late 50s, and how he was in a meeting in Brownsville, Texas, at Brother McCluskey's church, and that Brother Mullinall was up talking, and Brother Mullinall made a statement. He said, the Bible doesn't mean what it says, but it says what it means. And he said, I was a preacher, you know, there visiting, and he said, I didn't like that statement, that the Bible don't mean what it says. So he said, I wanted to jump up on my feet, because they told me you could ask questions, or that you could, you know, that they had discussions in these meetings. And he said, I wanted to get up and say, wait a minute, I believe the Bible does say what it means. But he said, another guy jumped up, he beat me up and jumped up ahead of me. And he said, I don't believe that, brother. I believe the Bible says exactly what it means. And he said, you do. He said, Brother Maul said, you do you? He said, yeah. He said, well, turn to me to the 91st Psalm, isn't it? Where it, in fact, I'll just turn there. I hadn't done this in a lot of years, but I'll just turn there real quick. And he read a little bit to him. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say, the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He'll cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He said, brother, do you believe God's a bird? He said, because if this means exactly what it says, he's got feathers and wings. Well, Brother Patton said, before Brother Mullinall got done with that guy, he said, I was really glad that I didn't get up. Well, so there, this puzzle unfolds the more you serve him. And here, you don't have to have all the answers to the puzzle. I don't think that's a requirement. It's not a requirement that you understand like everything about the 144,000 in the book of Revelations of the bride. Who makes that up? I don't think all the saints have to understand all of the different particulars. But as you go on to serve him, there will be a greater understanding of the scriptures, and there will be questions that arise in your heart that you will need answers for. You just need to know, what does this mean? But just remember, you've got the outer border of your puzzle in place. If you know that you're to serve him with your whole heart, you're to keep answering yes if you're going to be chosen of God. The minute God takes you to a place where you say, no, I can't do that, that's when you quit being chosen and going back to being called. And and of course, as long as you are, by the way, the chosen and the faithful work together, as long as you keep saying yes, you'll be faithful. You'll remain chosen and you'll be faithful, but there'll be new levels of faithfulness that you'll have to enter into. But what a wonderful promise we have is that song we're singing today. That we know that if I'll just keep saying yes, you know, it's not my, it's not all my burden to find out everything or to know every step that I'm supposed to take. But He'll direct your steps. He'll lead you and guide you. And He'll give you answers to your questions. You just have to keep sometimes asking them. And then, like Sister Inez mentioned, sometimes you just got to get quiet if you want to hear the answer. God will talk. In fact, I think God's talking plenty loud. It's just not too many of us listening plenty quiet. We're just not listening, but God's talking. And he's in a spiritual realm. And you have to get in the spiritual realm to hear Him. And the closer you get to Him, the more you begin to think like He thinks. And then, you know, to learn how to put this gospel in your life where it works in the natural. See, a lot of people want to separate the natural from the spiritual, and there is a line of separation, but it's all spiritual if you can find it. In other words, that God, the Spirit of God, moved on the face of the deep. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He created all this by the Spirit, and there's a natural side to serving God. And that's why you don't want to get too mystical, you know, looking in too mystical of a realm of, you know, trying to find God there. He's right here. He's right here in this realm. And that's one of the most difficult things that a saint, by the way, we're all saints, one of the most difficult things you'll ever do is be able to figure out how to get this, what's going on here in church, to working in your everyday life. Where you can get to a place where you can apply the Word of God and the Spirit of God to every situation that you face in life. You know, I don't think I'm different than y'all, but I know how it is. Sometimes you feel like, you know, Brother Gene Sugg, no, Brother, which Sugg was it that wrote the song? Everett Sugg. Yeah, he said, his song, you know, starts off, it says, "I feel like there's two people down inside of me." One is crying out to God, the other one wants to be free. You know, do whatever he wants to do. But if you're serving God, now, if you're not serving God, there's just one person inside of you, and that's just the devil. It's just devilment. This is the ungodly world that you're own way. You're working iniquity against God. You're just doing your own thing, but you're not serving your Creator, who created you for a purpose, His purpose. And what's amazing about it, His purpose is all about you. It's for you to have peace and happiness forever. You got a Creator that created you because He knew what he had He wanted to share, and He wanted a family to share it with. Then He made you and I, but He don't force that life on us. That's, to me, marvelous, number one. Number two, He gave you a choice. He's not going to make you do it. But eventually God will eliminate everything that can't become a part of His eternal plan. You eliminate yourself, really. He doesn't have a desire. It's not God's will that any should perish, the Bible says. So, keep the outer borders to your puzzle, but keep working on the pieces. Keep serving Him with your whole heart. He'll He'll lead you. He'll guide you. You'll make mistakes. You'll come to places where you'll be like this song Sister Lynette was saying, "Dear God, am I supposed to be in this place going through what I'm going through?" But just remember this scripture. We've held on to it all these years in Romans 8:29. All things work together for the good. Doesn't mean that God caused everything that you're going through to happen. I hate to reveal this to you if you hadn't already figured it out. But most of what you're going through is your own fault. Yeah, I'm looking in the mirror when I say that. And y'all just, if you're hearing what I'm saying to myself, will latch on to it. But what your biggest trouble is between your ears. That's another big revelation. I'm still looking at the mirror. Well, we create a lot of problems for ourselves. And life is complicated. And it's getting more complicated all the time. There's just, because knowledge has increased, there's just so much. You can just fill your life up with it, just whatever you want to fill it up with. I mean, they're just, you know, used to people just lived in a, they lived in a community and they had their family and they go to church and come home and they was around their family and that's all they knew a whole lot about. I mean, I remember when televisions come out. Some of y'all can't believe that, but I do. I remember when the first colored one came out. Man, we looked at that thing and tried to tune them colors in and all that. I don't know when they first came out. They may come out before I remember, Brother Paul. I don't know. But I know one thing. I remember when the first time I ever seen one. I can remember that. We didn't know what was going on in the world. Now you've got the burdens of the whole world on your shoulders. If you're listening to the media, I mean, you know what's going on in all these places, ever war, ever upheaval, ever crime. If it's got any magnitude about it at all, you know about it. All that feeds into your system. You got to do something with it. Well, life's more complicated. It used to be more simple than it is. But with God, you can handle it. But you got to keep Him in your focus. You got to keep Him. He still has to have your whole heart. And sometimes you got to let some of this stuff go. You just got to push it aside and say it's not important. I mean, I know you can walk by a television and some guy's arguing with another guy and then somebody, here comes somebody and does something to them. And you're there before you know it, you're caught up in it. You've got to stand right there and see what's going to happen. Who cares what happens? You're going to forget about it in 2 or 3 days. You're not going to worry about that. But it'll take up your time. And it doesn't mean that there couldn't be any recreation in it or any, doesn't mean you don't have any time for just to sit back and relax or be entertained, but if you're not careful, you'll spend your whole life being entertained and caught aside. And we do, wonder sometimes. I do think Jesus could have implied something there in the 25th chapter of Matthew on those 10 virgins. Let's read that again. We read it in Bible study, but it won't hurt us to read it again up here because, unfortunately, some of you all missed Bible study. In fact, some of you don't think that that's a service that we have in this assembly. Your unfaithfulness has proved that. Chapter 25, Matthew 25 says, "Then shall the kingdom," Jesus talking here, He is dealing with the end of a world. In the scripture, it starts off in the 24th chapter and really begins to talk on the end of their time back there in the end of the Jewish world. And he gives us this parable that then the kingdom of heaven will be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slept and slumbered. Or they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy yourself for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." Well, there may have been an indication there where they all slumbered and slept. I think that everyone, even those that get enough oil in your lamps before this is over with, I would have to consider that it does mean that, you know, we can't move ahead unless God lets us. We all have to have some rest from this journey that we're on. Even the wise ones slumbered and slept, but I think he could have been warning some too that you can be too slothful. Be careful. I think there's an indication in there that you don't want to slumber and sleep too much. But and I remember when I first read this, I thought it was sort of unchristian of those wise ones that wouldn't give any of their oil to the others. Of course, that's not really indicated in the scripture, but when you read it, you wonder, you know, these people supposed to have the right spirit, and they're you know, they're asking them for some oil. They said, "No, you ain't getting none of my oil." That was one of my puzzle pieces I had to get that piece, get it in there to get it in my understanding, to realize that I can't give you my oil. You got to get your own oil. You got to buy it. Jesus said, "Buy of me gold tried in the fire." See, I mean, I can tell you what I've been through. I can give you my testimony, but it's mine. You overcome by the word of your testimony. There's another scripture that you are overcoming that the things in this life that hinder you, and your testimony, the word of your testimony, what you've been through, the experiences that God has brought you through. I liked what Sister Inez said today when she said, "This has been a wonderful journey." That's exactly what it is. You don't just come to God today and everything's fixed. No, this is a journey. You just start in with God when you first say, "Yes, Lord, I'll serve you with my whole heart." I also liked what she said when she said, "For me, I have to be here in every service, or when the doors are open." You'll never be saved floating around and doing this and that, or missing coming. And you'll have to finally get a commitment made where God puts you And when you don't, if you don't know where God put you, then you ought to just hold steady. At least get somewhere until God begins to really reveal himself to you. There's something to be said for that. There's something to be said for learning how to just hold steady until you can, sometimes you can't get your head clear enough to know what God wants. Especially when you're going through a trial. Everybody wants to run in trials. You know, the preacher said something I didn't like, made me mad, it's stuck in my craw, can't get it out of my craw. And then everything he says gets in your craw after a while. Yeah. You know, you get in a negative attitude, you'll stay in it. If you ain't careful. Something don't help you get out of it. But that's not a time to be making decisions. You need to be where you're, you know, on neutral ground. When you know that it's not some big something, it's got big anyway, that's hindering your spirit. That's hindered a lot of people. But but when I had to come to a place to realize that they couldn't give them their oil. They couldn't. You can't walk in the light that I'm walking in. I can't walk in the light you're walking in. You can't think with my brain. Sometimes I wish some of you preachers would get that. I can't think with yours. You know? But as long as I'm in charge here, you're going to have to try to work with mine some, because I can't think with yours. I'm sorry, I can't think with your head. And, you know, God puts you in charge, like Brother Billy Brown said one time. He said, when I made the mistake of trying to teach something different than Brother Patton did, Brother Patton got up and said, there was iniquity worked here last night. That's happened across this pulpit too. Don't think it hadn't. But Brother Brown said, I knew I messed up. He said, I never did that again. But after he was in charge of the Houston church and Brother Patton died and left him in charge, the guy that worked iniquity. See, you can grow to a place in God where you can overlook people's faults. You can see and understand what makes them the way they are some. But you can also know God's in their life. And Brother Patton put him in charge. He said, now I'm in charge and I preach this how I want to. You know. But he learned how not to work iniquity. It wasn't his place to be setting the order of teaching in that congregation yet. But now it is. And so, you can't think with my mind. I can't think with yours. And you can't have my light. I can't give it to you. I wish I could sometimes. Hey, if I could make all y'all know exactly what I know, y'all'd be right in harmony with me. But we'd be in trouble if we did that, because I wouldn't have anything to check me. I wouldn't have anything to think. You know, any time that I understand that y'all don't understand what I understand, that makes me think, do I really understand this? Who? Uh-huh. Let me make myself a little plainer. When a man gets up with the intent, see, when a man can talk on, he can get up and talk, and he may not be saying things that I would say or like I would say, but when a man gets up with the direct intent to try to cross something I'm teaching, he's working iniquity. If that's his intent. If it's his intent. If he feels like I'm missing something somewhere scripturally, I don't think. In other words, we'd have chaos if every man got up and tried to correct what every man in here said that they didn't agree with. That's why there's somebody's got to be in charge. And it's generally somebody that's, you know, got experience and worked to a place that God's put them in that place. And but I do think you can go to a man, appeal to him. I taught something right here in this church one time. Brother McGowan came to me privately, and he said, "Brother Smith, I need you to help me with this." When he got done with me, I had to change the way I taught on it, because he is right and I was wrong. But see, he didn't get up and try to do that in the congregation and make, you know, run that up a flagpole or something and try to make a, you know, a scene out of it. He heard me teach something across this pulpit that I'd heard all my life, but I really didn't have it. I really just was quoting what I'd always heard. When the way he approached me in appeal, it was real easy for me to say. At first, I just said, "I'll have to look at that more." When I got done looking at it, I think I told him. I said, "You're right." And I changed on it. So there's a right way to do it, you know. But I'm just saying, with like I was using Brother Brown for an example, he got up intentionally to change something that Brother Patton taught. He snuck it in, kind of. But he knew he intentionally did that. And Brother Patton intentionally caught him. And it ended at it. And he didn't say much about it. You know. And I don't think, you know, I don't think anybody's ever heard me get up here and, you know, really hammer or strike on a guy for, you know, saying something maybe a little bit different the way I'd say it. I'm not that. I don't have a problem. But if I feel like a man is trying to sow iniquity or set discord in this church, I would do something about it. Because we can't have a lot of division created. You know, we can't let the flesh work to a point that it creates division. Is that a little better? I mean, am I explaining it a little bit clearer?
Yeah, but when you're talking about mannerisms, to me, it sounds like you're saying the man says something different. I was taught things that were different.
Mm-hmm.
So when I stand up and talk to them, every preacher can't preach on his salvation. Every once in a while, they get off into deeper things. So if you get off into something that you've been taught, and I've been taught it wrong, I was taught wrong, and so I teach a lesson on something, but you view that as iniquity?
No, I just said if you intentionally get up to try to change something that I teach, and your intention is to change it in this congregation, then I think that's not order. That's wrong order. But if you're just up talking and you're talking your understanding and there's no intent there, and I don't really have a problem with it. You see, people can get, they can get it in their spirit that I'm against this man, and I don't like what he does, and I'm gonna challenge him. I think that's wrong. I think when you create division, somebody's probably in the congregation may like you. I'm not saying you've done that. I'm just saying, whoever, then you may sow a seed that somebody, you know, takes your side on it. And that creates division. Before long, they'll sow a seed. And before long, more seed gets sowed. And so it can create division. But when men are up talking, you don't have to be taught somewhere else besides right here, and still may get up and say something that I don't, that may be different in the way I would teach it. Well, the only stipulation I'm putting on its intent, if you can't get around that, then sit in your chair. you've got liberty to get up and talk here, but if you think I'm saying that you can't talk, you're wrong. That ain't what I'm saying at all. That's not intent.
If he does, maybe
catch the difference and speak to him. I really don't care for the people to hear something different if there's not an intent. See, when there's an intent, there's a wedge driven. There's a purpose behind it. In other words, if I get up here and talk on something and somebody comes up here and goes directly against me and you're sowing discord in the people's hearts, that there's an intent there to challenge the authority, to challenge the man that's in charge, to challenge his teaching. I think we ought to work with a man that's in charge. We ought to try to work with him the best we can. I'm sure I've said things when I traveled with Brother Linger, he don't tell him what all I said that he didn't agree with. But he never did. I remember one time we went out one night and sat down in a restaurant and he said, you taught something I was wrong. I said, I did. He said, yeah. I said, what was it? He told me and I said, I won't do that anymore, Brother Linger. I said, I'll do better.
You covered it. I just, with the, there might be brethren who feel, you know, I'm not one of these, I'll say that. There may be brethren that feel that they don't have freedom to preach their heart because they're afraid they may work out of iniquity. That was kind of, you took it where I wanted to.
Okay. Yeah, because I think pretty much, I know pretty much these men's mind. I think they know they got liberty to talk. They all do talk pretty well. And, I want you men to know that. I don't want you to feel hindered but I want there to be enough, what I'm saying. I want there to be enough order here that that we don't have discord sown. And things that are wrong. We're working on this scripture, or I am today, and about doing your own will and what iniquity is, or I probably wouldn't have said what some of the things I've said. But, these things have to be said, or there won't be any order. If you don't ever work on it, there won't be any. So, but anyway, getting back to these 10 virgins, the indication here is that we have an obligation to get our own testimony, to get the Word of God for ourselves. I can't fit my pieces into your puzzle. It's the same puzzle, but you got to work your own puzzle. I can give you pieces. I can tell you where some of them go. But until I've done that before. I've stood over people putting the puzzle together. I said, that piece right there, I think goes right there. And they'll say, no, I don't think it does. And I've had people tell me that. I think that piece goes right there. Well, sometimes they'll tell me that, and I ain't working on that piece. I'm working on this piece right here. I'm trying my best to find this little place right here, because that piece over there, I'm not there yet, and I ain't worried about it. And they may even put it in, but and it may come to my mind and make sense to me a little later. But right now, what I'm going through, what God's doing in my life, is what's important. To me, it's because if this is my testimony, this is my life. I'm serving Him. And there's questions that'll arise as time, as my journey continues. There's questions that'll continue that I'll just I'll have to have some answers. I'll have to have some more answers. But here's where I try to live. Is I know if I'll just keep serving Him, if I'll keep saying yes, if I'll just keep living with all I do know, that's all He requires of me. Ain't that good? That's it. God's not going to require any more of you than what you know. You may be a foolish virgin, but just keep buying oil. Before long, you'll be a wise one. Watch. That was his answer down in the end of it was, watch. Because you don't know when the Son of Man is going to come. Even that'll change on you if you keep serving Him. You'll realize that when He said that, they didn't know. But I read the scripture in Bible study today in James 5 when James told them, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. He knew He was fixing to come. They had got more pieces of the puzzle. But the time Jesus told them, you don't know when I'm coming, so you better watch and bow all. So if you don't know when Jesus is coming, in judgment, you don't know when the end of this world's going to be, keep buying all. Keep serving Him. Keep saying yes. Go to the marketplace. This is not just the marketplace, right? This is a place you come. The thing about it is the cashier's not here. You know, I mean, I know we received your tithes and offerings. And I think that's essential. I teach tithing. Because it's your first fruits. And if you don't get God first in your life, and particularly first in recognizing Him in all things, if God, what God blesses you with, you don't recognize Him in that, you never will put Him first in anything. But that's not paying for the truth. That's part of it. But the rest of it's living it. When you walk out those doors and you go through those circumstances and you have to give an answer. You know, however you react to those circumstances. Sometimes you don't make an A grade. You have to go through that again. But keep on keeping on. Keep saying yes, Lord, because your experience. Let me give you this scripture and we'll see what else we have at 5 o'clock. We do have service tonight, though. It's not a dinner day deal. Y'all have to forgive me. I'm trying to figure out where I'm at. Romans 5. I'll just read this and we'll close. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You're justified by your faith in what you do know about Him that made you say yes. And that gives you peace that things are right between you and the Lord. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glorify in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations works patience. So as I go through these circumstances and situations in everyday life, and I have to apply the Word of God and react or respond, I should say, in a righteous response. And so therefore I know that what I'm going through, I need to go through. I was telling the Bible study class this morning about my hallelujah morning. You should have been there. And patience, experience, and experience hope. So, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So these things we go through causes us to have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And it gives us experience. And that's oil. The experience of finding that the Word of God is true, and it becomes true to you, and it becomes oil in your lamp, and it's part. part of the light that shines on your pathway in life. What a journey it is. Brother Patton used to always also say, there ain't a better way to live. He said, you'll find it all, and everything that can happen in life happens in here. Yeah, I don't know if any of y'all remember Peyton Place. Didn't hold a light on this. This is the real Peyton Place. All right. Praise God. What a good spirit. Don't y'all appreciate our band and our music? You think we ought to give them a hand? They do a good job, don't they? God uses them. And Brother Painter in the media booth back there. Don't you appreciate them? And Brother Stewart and usher staff. I appreciate them. They're working in areas you don't even see sometimes. And then these brethren up here, this ministry. I appreciate them. And I really appreciate Brother Pryor. He may have questions, but he did, like he said, he'd come from somewhere else. And he's trying to fit himself into this. But hadn't they been an asset to our church? I appreciate them. Praise God. All right, let's stand. Give God a praise. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. All your great grace. Oh, Lord, for your presence and your spirit. We give you praise today. God, go with each one. Hallelujah. Touch each one. Direct our steps and help us, oh God. Amen, amen. All right, shake hands and be friendly. Band practice at 4:00. Service at 5:00. Praise God.